301-230-0980, the number to reach us right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. As we take you up to 1 o'clock, Chris Russell will take over from there. A lot to get to here in this final hour. It'll be Burgundy and Gold centric. 99 days away from the opening kickoff of the 2025 NFL regular season. I can't wait. I'm genuinely getting like goosebumps.
I want to hit the fast forward button.
You know what I'm saying?
I need it.
Can you plant me in July? I don't even want to skip ahead too far.
Yeah.
Plant me in July.
Get me to camp.
Get me to popping. Get me to the joint practice against the Patriots where we're whipping their ass all up and down the street to Boston.
I love it.
Get me there. I'm fired up, Max. I'm telling you, you can't fake this. I'm giddy. I'm geeked up because as fun as last year was, nobody expected it.
Mm-hmm.
Now having the added expectation onto it, normally, right, with teams in the past in this market that have had success, the best way to judge them, I think, in terms of what they will be over an extended period of time is how do they handle success in that immediate season following. And I think because of who is at the helm of this thing, because Dan Quinn is, to me, one of the best leaders in pro sports, they will be ready. They will be ready. If anybody knows anything about, you know, not putting the chicken before the egg, so to speak, Dan Quinn is the architect of 28-3. He's been there before. He gets what it means to be up, feel like you're on top of the world, and then have it all crash. I think those experiences that he dealt with in Atlanta, the follies that he dealt with in Dallas, all make this Washington Commander football team a hell of a lot better. And I do think they have the right people in the building that won't allow them to be complacent. They won't. Because guess what? I still think they're a disrespected, slighted football team. I do.
They've been slighted by a few people this offseason.
They have. A lot of people. Look, the first I walk out in, you know, I love me some Nick Wright. I'm a big Colin Cowherd fan. The facility sucks. The facility is probably the worst show on sports television. LeSean McCoy, what's the other, James Jones, Acho, Chase Daniel. I feel like quarterbacks are just good at doing the TV bit. But the topic in their A block was, is Jaden Daniels' sophomore slump inevitable? Is it inevitable? And I think that's a very interesting way to frame it, a very interesting way to look at it. Everyone feels like some sort of regression is going to come because he was that damn good a season ago. Second best EPA in the NFL in the fourth quarter. He was best when his team needed him the most. I'll never forget the Atlanta Falcons Sunday night game where he straps the team to his back like a jetpack and takes the hell off. He's got that in him. So no matter what happens up front, no matter how healthy they are at wide receiver, I got five on it. And I know what happened to C.J. Stroud. This kid's not C.J. Stroud. They may both come from the same hometown in Cali, the IE, the Inland Empire, but Jaden Daniels is different. Cut from a different cloth, as the folks like to say. But as I mentioned, a couple of people have slighted Washington this offseason to feel like, look, last year was a flash in the pan. You won a bunch of games at the buzzer. Some folks are drinking the Kool-Aid. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football had this to say about whether or not, had this to say about who is the biggest threat to Philadelphia in the conference.
Number one, this might be a surprise, but it shouldn't be. Number one, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Heck yeah,
guys,
Kyle.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are under the radar. And Sarah, you know this. Yep. They smacked the Eagles last year. Look it up. They smacked them. They held Saquon in check. Baker went absolutely nuts. They also knocked the Eagles out of the playoffs the year before. Also, Nick Sirianni lost to them a few years prior when it was a different iteration of the Buccaneers. Eagles fans know that the Bucs always play them very tough. Maybe they're not the shiniest, brightest team in the league, and they don't have the exposure that maybe the Commanders had last year, and I don't have the Commanders on my list. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been a nemesis for this version of the Eagles, and I have them as number one team that the Eagles do not want to see at the end of the season. That's my list.
Kyle Brandt coming off the top rope. It's a steamy take. Right. But when you really get down to the nitty gritty of it, it's a very much improved football team in Tampa. adding Emeka Egbuka to the wide receiver trio of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Jalen McMillan. Like, they're all of a sudden deep as hell at that position. Trey Palmer, right? And then defensively, this is where it gets scary. You add Hassan Reddick to Kalijah Kancey and Vita Vea and Yaya Diaby and Chris Braswell. They have a very formidable front seven. A pass rush unit that honestly scares the hell out of me. It does. Now, what they have in the secondary is, right? Less than to be desired. I think they got some real issues at corner. I know they're expecting a lot out of their second-year nickel, Tyke Smith. But to say that Tampa is the biggest threat to Philadelphia in the NFC, come on, Kyle. Come on, Kyle. Now, the other two teams on his list, I think there's an argument to be made for. The other two teams on his list are the Detroit Lions and the L.A. Rams. The Detroit Lions and the L.A. Rams. I think this conversation, first and foremost, is subjective. I think it can go either which way, and I don't think there's a wrong answer. So I just feel like Kyle's not having Washington in the top three, though. And I'm hard on them because I don't want to be called biased, but y'all know I love this group. I think Washington, if it all goes well, could win the whole damn thing next year. But I also could see them taking a huge step back and being an 8-9 win team. We let you hear from Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. Here's what Lewis Riddick of ESPN had to say about who the biggest threat to the Eagles are in the NFC.
Right now, who do you think is the biggest threat to Philadelphia in the NFC?
It's Washington. It's Washington, Green, because they're making all the right moves. Look, I know we want to, like, conveniently say, well, Jaden Daniels can't have another season like he had last year. Well, why not? Why can't he? Did Cliff Kingsbury go anywhere? No. Did they add some protection on the offensive line? Yeah. Laremy Tunsil and the drafting of Josh Connerly are huge. It's huge. It all started up front with them anyway. Deebo Samuel, that acquisition is huge because we know he's a multi-tool player. And we know that a guy like Jalen Lane, who they draft from Virginia Tech, he's an absolute stud in terms of his ability to add another speed component to go along with Terry McLaurin. And really, you know what? Here's the biggest thing. If they hit on Trey Amos, the corner that they draft out of Ole Miss, and we saw Washington just get obliterated in the NFC Championship game by Philadelphia through the air, on the perimeter. If Trey Amos can be that dude, I'm telling you, everything is looking up for Washington. Everything is looking up.
Lewis Riddick with a super strong take on what 2025 could be for the... This is why I get fired up. This is why I get geeked up. Because that's somebody I trust. That's somebody that knows ball, that's done it professionally, that's evaluated talent, grinded tape.
In this division, might I add.
You know what I'm saying? In this division, in this organization, I believe, at a point in time.
Correct.
So he's done it. He knows what it looks like. There is no internal bias from Lou Riddick. He also was the same guy that said last year, don't sleep on Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. He said that before the season, before they won 12 games. So when Lou Riddick talks, Linnell listens. Lou Riddick thinks they're the biggest threat to the Eagles in the conference. If all things go well, I agree with that as well, right? If all things are equal, right, in terms of health, things of that nature, and I understand it, right? This is the National Football League. If there's one thing that has tremendous variance year in, year out, is health. And last year, Washington was one of the healthier teams in the National Football League. Now, I do think part of that was their preventative maintenance and things of that nature. They earned the right to not have injuries last year. They did everything right. If you do everything right again and get lucky and don't have injuries, I don't see why Washington cannot be right back where they were a season ago and even get over the hump. Now, that's me being like the good genie, right? There's a good genie on one shoulder, there's a bad genie on the other. The one thing I have concern about with this group, is the secondary. More so than the pass rush.
Tell me more. Why?
Because if Marshawn Lattimore, he's the guy. He is the straw that will stir the drink for this group defensively.
It does hinge on him and Trey Amos.
You know what I'm saying? If those two guys can lock up the outside corner spot, and honestly, to hell with Trey Amos for a second. They have depth. The moves they made this offseason, I think, tells you their confidence level in Marshawn Lattimore. It ain't too high. And I'm not saying that as a negative thing. but it ain't too high. You went out and brought in Super Bowl champion Jonathan Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You brought back Noah Igbinoghene, albeit on the cheap. And then you drafted a corner in the second round. And look at it this way. I know from a well-placed source, if Connerly wasn't there at 29, Amos would have been there at 29. So they would have been comfortable spending a first-round pick on a corner, a pretty decent money, vet minimum money on bringing Igbinoghene back. And then you bring in a guy in Jonathan Jones. You think Jonathan Jones is coming here to ride the pine? No. He's coming here to compete. So Marshawn Lattimore, I hope you spent a lot of time with the heating pad on you. I hope you did some RDLs if you pick up what I'm putting down. That hamstring needs to be intact. Because if it's not, I'm telling you, this secondary will be in trouble. I genuinely feel that way. Here's the thing about corner. Very volatile position in the National Football League. I love me some Trey Amos. I think he could play. Trey Amos has to get coached up, though. It's true. A foregone conclusion that Trey Amos walks in here and earns that starting outside corner job. It's not. Same thing on the offensive line. I love this mantra and attitude that they've gone with. And it seems like it's a little bit of ass-kissing going on with Laremy Tunsil.
Because
this is the third time now this offseason that they've said he's the only guy whose job is guaranteed.
Yeah.
Not Tyler Biadasz. The other guy that people probably point to and go, yeah, badass just started center. No, not here. You've got to earn everything. You've got to compete. That gets me excited. I love that about this group. 110%. Y'all know how I get down. I want the janitors competing for who cleans the damn toilet the best. I want the chefs competing for whose, you know, sirloin is the juiciest. Give me all the competition. Inject competition right into me. I need it. But here's the thing about competition. The best guys are going to start. Not your favorite, the best. Wouldn't stun me at all if both of the rookies that you drafted early, Lane and Josh Connerly, wouldn't surprise me if they both weren't full-time starters in week one. Wouldn't stun me at all. You have depth at both of those positions. You've got to compete. And I feel like the guy who's got the best shot at starting, to me, between Trey Amos and Josh Connerly, I would say it's Josh Connerly. I think he can walk in and easily beat out Andrew Wiley for the right tackle job. I think he's a better athlete. The one thing we worry about with Connerly, and this is what's great about joint practicing against the Patriots. It's not that it's just the Patriots, right? You're joint practicing against a Mike Vrabel-led team. It may be a damn game out there. They may wear full uniform and play a game out there. That's how physical of a practice that will be. Can you tell that I'm excited about this? Can you tell that I'm ready?
No, not one bit.
Not a little bit? Can you tell I'm ready?
Nah.
Because I just feel like there's so many questions. For as much confidence as I have in the group, I am assuming, and so are all of us, by the way, that like this group. If you're confident in them like I am, I think they're the biggest threat to Philadelphia. I think we get a rematch in the NFC Championship game, depending on how the seeding goes. But even if you're confident like me, there are still question marks with this group. Even if you're confident like me and think that Jayden Daniels takes the next step, you think that the defense takes the next step, there are still question marks. And I want to go through some of them. The offensive line is an improved group. They're not really a question mark to me. You know what is? Wide receiver. Not because they didn't address the position, but because nothing is won on paper, right? It's May. I have questions about who emerges opposite Terry McLaurin. I have questions about whether or not Jalen Lane can produce at the NFL level. I have questions about whether or not Deebo Samuel could turn up or not. Now, like I continue to say, I'm confident in the group. I swear that I am. But to act as if everything is peaches and roses and they fixed every problem this offseason, you'd be beside yourself. You'd be beside yourself. Our guy Marcus Edelin types it in the chat. I think you hit it right on the head. Every team in the NFL has question marks. That's okay. Let's acknowledge ours, though. Let's acknowledge ours. The Eagles have question marks, damn it. They won the bowl last year. They lost several key starters on defense. They lost their starting right guard. Every team's got questions. But I want to focus on Washington's. 301-230-0980 is the number. What is the biggest question mark in your mind surrounding the Washington Commanders going into 2025?
I got one for you right now.
Let's do it. Lay it on me.
Well, this is just some breaking news from John Kime and Nikki Javala.
Uh-oh.
Terry McLaurin is not at voluntary OTAs at the moment.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Now, the extension will, I have confidence it will get done, but it is the truth of the matter right now that he is not in Ashburn. Concerning or not?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it.
I have maybe faith
that it'll
get done.
Maybe he's just in the building.
Hopefully.
I think he's probably just in, I don't think he's not here.
That's true.
I don't believe that.
Not on the field or not in the bubble at OTAs right. today, according to Wino, Nikki, Kime, JP.
By the way, yeah. I just, that worries me. It's not nothing. I'm not going to say I'm panicked over it. I'm damn sure not going to say it's not nothing, right? When it comes to Terry McLaurin not being there. Now, I fully anticipate them getting a deal done. If they don't, ring the alarm. Ring the alarm. But here's the other thing, right? Did Sam Cosmi hold out last year? No. So why is Terry holding out? You're a veteran, Terry. You're a leader, Terry. I want you there. I get you got to advocate for yourself. I get you got to fight for your money. I get the injury risk. Hopefully he's in the building. Him not being on the practice field doesn't concern me. Is he in the building? Is his presence being felt? 301-230-0980 is the number. We got a lot to chew on. Breaking news coming in here to the Team 980 via John Kime of ESPN, Nikki Javala of the Washington Post. First day of voluntary work for the Commanders that the media is privy to. Terry McLaurin not in attendance. He also wasn't in attendance late last week, leading many to believe that they're speculating that it's about the deal. Is it a big deal or not a big deal that Terry McLaurin not there for this voluntary practice? And then part two of this question, what we've been chewing on to start this hour. Every team in the NFL has question marks, right? If you feel like I do, and I'll be on board for it and puff my chest out with conviction and say it, I think Washington, if they can stay healthy, will replicate last year's success by making a deep postseason run. Will they win the Super Bowl? I don't know. But I do know if they stay healthy, I fully anticipate them staying on course with what they were last year with a harder schedule. But I would be a damn fool if I sat up here and acted like there weren't any questions with this team. What's your biggest question? 301-230-0980 is the number. Your call's next here on the Kevin Sheehan Show.